everyone, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. You know, I know a lot of you have heard one of our previous guests, Miss Candy G, inspirational speaker. I tell you what, I know that a lot of times we're accustomed to hearing the phrase motivational speaker, which is cool, but Candy prefers to be known as an inspirational speaker because she likes to get really, really good information on the inside of us so that we're empowered from within to live life at our best. So, since she prefers to call herself an inspirational speaker, I call her an inspirational speaker too. She's awesome. She has done a lot of work with Les Brown, the great motivational speaker, and actually did some training under him. Well, she has really just inspired us off and on over the years. And so I want to share on this Power Friday a power note with you from Candy G. She talks about the importance of habituating gratitude. You know, we form habits, right? A habit of doing this, a habit of doing that. She encourages us to habituate gratitude. And she says that really, you can be in gratitude with the same spontaneity as being happy. Being in gratitude is an assurance of continual blessing. Being in gratitude. In gratitude. How many of you are practicing being grateful and expressing your gratefulness? Being grateful and expressing your gratitude. Habituate gratitude. And she encourages us to be in gratitude with the same spontaneity with which we can be happy. All right, that is our power note on this Power Friday. And I'm going to try to give a power note from Candy G each Power Friday. I say I'm going to try because my guess is from time to time, I will forget. I'm telling you what, there's so much that we're pulling together to make the program one that truly, truly benefits you. And that's, it really is something that I hope will benefit you all. I'm trying to continue a program that will truly enhance the well-being of your lives, the well-being of your souls, the well-being of your minds, the well-being of your lives overall. I'm trying to enhance it, trying to help us continue to maybe maneuver through life more skillfully as we practice, we, not just you, not just me, as we practice thinking critically about the various subjects, topics that have to do with how we live, the various topics that and actions taken by others that impact our lives, thinking critically about their decisions. Critically. Very often people don't think critically. A lot of people just move emotionally and they let their emotions guide them. A lot of people are driven by loyalty. Loyalty in and of itself is not a bad thing, but a lot of people are just super loyal to a certain group of people who embrace a certain cause. And so a lot of people are very, very loyal to, for example, a political party. And their loyalty to the political party determines how they approach everything else in life. They simply find out what the party has to say about it, and that's what they say about it. They find out what the party has to think about it, and that's what they think about it. They find out what the party feels about something, and that's what they feel. That's how they feel about it. They just tow the party line, and they tow it with diligence. They tow it with persistence. They're loyal to the party. Sometimes it may be a specific sub-religious group. a group within the larger group, a smaller group within the larger group. And so a person may, you have a lot of people who don't just define themselves as Christians, for example. They define themselves as a certain type of Christian. And for them, it is much more important to know what that type of Christian, what that subgroup believes and thinks and feels, because they've already decided they're going to be loyal to that subgroup, and they're going to feel what the members, and particularly the leaders of that subgroup, feels. They're going to think what that subgroup thinks. They're going to oppose what that subgroup opposes. They're going to embrace what that subgroup embraces. And very often, even if that means going against what scriptures teach, and they'll just say, well, this is what scripture teaches. Loyalty. And so a lot of times, once people make the decision that that's the way they're going to go, we're just going to toe the line of this subgroup of which we're a member. They don't think about, they don't think through. They just find out what other people within the group are saying, and they just regurgitate what others are saying. But to really think through it on their own, to try to honestly weigh the pros and cons of the views that they're hearing from their group, to honestly weigh the pros and cons of what they're hearing other people say, they won't do it. They're simply going to say, what I hear members of my group saying is what the truth is. And that's what I'm buying. That's what I'm embracing. And I'm rejecting anything that doesn't line up with what my subgroup says and believes and feels and thinks. So in this program, I encourage you to just, we come together as a community and think through these issues. We look at the various angles, often looking at angles that aren't mentioned by others. Try to get us to look at both sides and make a decision. What do we really believe is the truth about this matter? What is going to be the outcome? Is this really going to hurt? Or is it going to help? Maybe hurt some, help some. Hurt more than help. Help more than hurt. And try to get us to look at that. And that's why, as many of you know, when I start referencing organizations that can help us gather information, I usually go to nonpartisan organizations. I know that that's not something that pleases everybody, because let's face it, like I said, you got some folks who have their minds made up, many, many, many people who have their minds made up. This is the only way I want to think. This is the only way I want to feel. This is the only type of consideration I want to give. And if it doesn't line up with that, I'm automatically rejecting it. I don't want to hear anything else. I truly understand that. And so for some people, to get information from an organization that is nonpartisan / objective, they don't want to hear that. They only want to hear what's going to reinforce the positions that they've decided to take. And that, of course, is the position that the subgroup of which they're a member has decided to take. I encourage us, hey, let's approach all these different topics with integrity. Let's be ready to say, hey, you know what? I had not thought about that before. Let me at least give that some more thought. Not saying that right away, as soon as we hear something that is different from what we have been embracing, and we decide that, hey, wait a minute, that has kind of caught my attention. Maybe there's something, maybe that's right. I'm not saying go ahead and decide right then and there that it is indeed right. I'm saying go ahead and continue to think through it and just honestly pursue the matter and see what you come up with, see where it leads. I always encourage people, approach the topics with integrity. And to the extent that people refuse to be open and objective, when I say open, I don't mean You're going to hear someone else's view and immediately accept their view. That's not what I mean when I say open. When I say open, I mean you are truly willing to hear other views and give them serious consideration to determine, wait, are these other views truly better than my views, our views? Is it possible that this other position is a better position? Too many times people are closed. The hearts and minds are closed, completely closed. They've decided what position they want to take, and they've made up their minds. They're not going to entertain any other information. They'll let you talk, but they're not really hearing you. They'll let you say what you have to say, but they're not really thinking about what you are saying, because their minds have already done all the thinking that their minds are going to do. They know what their subgroup says, and that's what they're going to go with no matter what. That is not an open or honest way, objective way, to approach a topic. And to the extent that we refuse to be open and objective, to that same extent, we're sometimes rejecting truth, refusing to be honest. To the extent that we refuse to be open and objective, sometimes, to that same extent, we're refusing to be honest. Now, and I say sometimes because there are instances wherein you know something is true. This is truth. There are some people who say there are no absolutes and there is no absolute truth. I don't agree with that. There are, I believe, some absolutes and there are absolute truths. And once we have determined, hey, look, you know what? I know that this is true. We don't have to entertain the possibility of something else being true. But here's the thing. That's where it gets so tricky. We know that 1 + 1 = 2. That's an absolute truth. 4 - 2 = 2. That is an absolute truth. How about love can accomplish more than hatred? Well, that could be debatable. Some people might say, well, and just looking at where life is right now. And when I say right now, this temporary phase of life, not looking at the eternal phase of life, just looking at the temporary phase of life, including all of past history and the present. The case could be made either way. That love accomplished more than hatred. Hatred accomplished more than love. Once we start looking at the eternal phase of life, I think that for anyone who embraces the Christian worldview, as I do, the conclusion would be, you know what? In the long run, love will accomplish more than hatred, because eventually all of the people who hate will be locked away in the lake of fire. They won't be able to cause trouble for anyone else. All the evil spirits will be locked away in the lake of fire. They won't be able to cause any trouble for anyone else. And so the only people who will be remaining will be the godly people who love God and are motivated by love, and God's holy angels who are motivated by love. And you figure 100 years after all the others are locked away in the lake of fire with their hatred, love will be in the new earth, still getting good things done. 500 years after all the evil ones are locked away in the lake of fire, the ones who are motivated by love will still be on the new earth getting good things done. 1,000 years after the evil ones are locked away in the lake of fire, the ones motivated by love will still be in the new earth getting good things done. 20,000 years after all the evil ones are locked away in the lake of fire. 100,000 years. We're talking eternity now. 100,000 years after the evil ones are locked away and have been locked away in the lake of fire, the ones motivated by love will still be on the new earth getting good things done. 1 million years after. And you get the point. So in the long run, in the grand scheme of things, in the eternal scheme of things, there's no question in my mind that love will accomplish much more than hatred. Hatred will at some point be shut down. Once the evil ones are locked away in the lake of fire, their hatred gets locked away with them. They'll no longer be free to accomplish anything as a motivation of their hatred. They're going to be locked down, just suffering and suffering and suffering for all of eternity. Not able to accomplish anything. Just be and suffer. Just exist and suffer. Just exist and suffer. That's all. Some people think they'll be down in hell fighting other people and beating them up. No. Let me tell you something. When you are in flames, you're not thinking about fighting. Believe me. You're not thinking about trying to prove who's the biggest and the baddest when you're in flames. Flames shooting all through your entire being from head to toe. Not just on top of you, but shooting through you. And you're as dead as you'll ever get. Body and soul just constantly, continually, only suffering all the time throughout all eternity. You ain't going to be thinking about trying to prove that you're the biggest and the baddest. When those flames be hitting everybody, nobody's going to be thinking they're the biggest or the baddest. And their hatred locked away with them while on the new earth, more beautiful, more grand than anything we've ever imagined, much less seen, those motivated by love getting good things accomplished. That's what it's about. And that's part of the reason that I like to encourage us all to think critically so that we don't get dragged away into the wrong worldview that can have us making wrong decisions that cause us problems down the road. When we come back, let's get ready to talk about how we can parent more effectively and parent, in fact, parent in such a way as to not only empower our children, but also maybe improve our relations with them.